Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with & Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
It is straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you with us. And even more so, as we do each and every Wednesday morning, delighted to have the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, in with us this morning for the Wealthwise moment. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here we're leading up into Christmas and the new year.
It is so great to have you. Thank you for taking the time with us this morning. I know that you're in the middle of not just busy work, because this is probably as busy a time of year as I can imagine for you, but you're also getting your Christmas stuff together. You're getting your five suitcases of things to take with you, right?
That's right. You know, packing light is overrated. I don't think there's any merit to packing light. I'm all about packing heavy.
You're coming heavy. I love that. It's a Tony Soprano
move. I come in
heavy.
Hey, you know what? This is the thing, because I travel so much, I have achieved that executive platinum status on American Airlines.
Right.
And I have never had executive platinum, but it is a beautiful thing. It allows me 3 bags with no charge. And I'm saying take full advantage of it.
Wow. That is special. That is special. Yeah. I don't fly very often. So if I'm wearing a fanny pack, no, I can't get on. They won't let me know with a fanny pack. So are you ready for the holidays?
I am not quite ready. You know what it is? I've got my niece, who's 18 years old, you know, right. Those 18-year-olds are tough to purchase for. But I think this morning a light bulb went off, and I think I know what I want to get her. So I think that will be fantastic.
All right. It's not that new Mornings with Ed sweatshirt that we're looking to find. No, it's not that, is it? All right.
No.
Okay.
No, but it is in the apparel. It is apparel.
All right.
It's just very specific. I won't say it here on the air just in case she listens.
Right. And you know she does. Who doesn't?
Of course.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're at least almost ready. I'd love to talk to you. There's a lot of things to cover this morning. I want to start off with the Secure 2.0 Act that's going through Congress right now.
Remember, I was talking about it just a few weeks ago and bringing it to light that I thought this would be passed. And in fact, it looks like it is.
It is.
So I'm excited to go through the specifics.
Thank you so much for doing that for us. And I'm going to go through them point by point and then just have you explain to us what sure. We're talking about here. So one of the provisions requires auto enrollment in 401k plans. Most employers starting new workplace retirement savings plans might be required to automatically enroll employees in the plan. We know it's currently optional. And then it would be up to the employees to actively opt out if they don't want to participate. Explain that to us.
This is such a great provision, Ed, because, yes, up until now, it's been optional. And plan sponsors, meaning companies and the people in charge of the 401k plans, have been somewhat reluctant to add automatic enrollment. Some plans have it, some plans don't. And the way it's been, it's always an opt-out. So if a plan offers it or institutes automatic enrollment, the employee can still opt out of it, and the employee will still be able to opt out of it. But it's trying to encourage people to save more. And right now, what they're talking about is that automatic enrollment would be at least 3% and not more than 10%. And then the employer will be able to decide within that range of 3 to 10 where they want to start. Okay. And then after that, the amount would be increased by 1% each year until it reaches at least 10%, but not more than 15%. So here's the reality. People need to be putting in 15% of their income for retirement. Not many people do. This idea of instituting automatic enrollment will get people moving towards where they need to be. And employers will have some discretion within those limits. I will tell you that I am going to encourage employers to start at 6% and go all the way to 15.
Wow.
That is going to be my recommendation.
Wow. You know, so when you said, just now, when you said that sobering thing, that here's the deal, you need to be saving 15%, that's kind of sobering right there, because really not a lot of us do.
No.
Wow.
No. A lot of people don't realize that that's where they need to be.
Right. Well, thank you for that. The second provision would allow employer contributions for student loan payments. As you know, when you have to pay down student loan debt, it makes it harder to save for retirement. Explain to us how that would work.
Yeah, that is great. That's a great provision, and it's been talked about a lot in, you know, both what there's a couple of provisions. There's the student loan. I don't know if you're going to mention this, but also kind of emergency savings.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah, so both of those are good, because in both cases, what we see is that many employees are strapped. And being strapped, you know, by either debt or strapped because they don't really have emergency savings, and these provisions are going to help people address those issues. And by allowing this into the plan, that's really going to help with adding in some employer potential contributions into the mix here.
Okay, so I'm going to go a little out of order. So what you mentioned with the emergency savings, it would help employees build that access to emergency savings, because normally if you tap your 401k before the age of 59 and a half, you must not only pay taxes on that money, but you also pay a 10% early withdrawal penalty?
Right, and then that would be waived, that there would be no penalty if you're using that portion, that emergency savings portion.
All right. Okay, thank you for that. Also, a provision is that it would increase the age for required minimum distributions. It used to be that when you turned 70 and a half, you had to start withdrawing a required minimum amount from your 401k or your IRA every year. Then the age moved up to 72. What are we looking at now?
So exciting. This, of course, is my favorite part of the provisions. Okay. Because, you know, I deal with people every year. We just got through all of our required minimum distributions for clients. And many people don't want that, because they're paying taxes on money and they may not need that money now. So what it does is it moves it from age 72 to age 73 starting January 1st, 2023. And then it increases it, and it ends up at age 75 starting in 2033. So people who are younger at this point will not have to take out distributions until 75. Now, how does the government make this work? Let's talk about this, because the whole point of required minimum distributions is for the government to receive tax revenue. But what happens is the longer that you push that out, the more you're going to have to take out when you reach that age. Because when you reach whatever age it is, let's say 75, your life expectancy is now shorter. Therefore, the amount of money that you have to take out is greater. So people will actually need to think through this one, Ed. As much as it sounds great, and it is great in a lot of ways, it means that if you defer it longer and you wait till 75, then you're taking out more and you'll be taxed more on that. So we'll be working with clients to say, well, you know, maybe you want to take a little bit out it when you're 72, 73, 74. Maybe not as much as you would have as a required minimum distribution, but if you wait all the way to 75, then that tax bill is going to be even higher.
Right. So six in one, half dozen in the other, it sounds like.
Yeah. And, okay. And you know, so the government expects to make it up, and they actually did a study that shows in the next 10 years it's not going to impact the revenue that they receive that much. So they've already looked at their revenue.
Okay.
Side of it.
All right. Thank you for that explanation. Next up is to raise catch-up contribution limits for older workers. My understanding is currently if you're 50 or older, you can contribute an additional $6,500 to your 401k on top of the $20,500 that we're allowed to contribute annually. How does that work?
Yeah, it's going to go up to $7,500. So from $6,500 to $7,500, which is also great news, because what happens, Ed, it happened for me as well. Many times when you're younger, it's harder to max out your 401k contributions. And then as your earnings are higher and you get your 50 or above, you start making more in those years. And that's also when people say, oh my gosh, I need to save more for retirement. So catch up allows anybody 50 years old or older to not only do their regular 401k contribution, but to do catch-up provision. So that's moving from $6,500 to $7,500, and that will help people make up for those other years when they couldn't save as much.
Beautifully explained. Thank you. The next two provisions really talk about people that don't earn as much. It's an underutilized federal match that exists for lower-income earners. And their retirement contributions of up to $2,000 a year. It's supposed to enhance and simplify the saver's credit.
Yeah. So the match will be 50% of contributions up to $2,000 per individual, and it's actually a federal matching contribution.
Ooh. Okay. Thank you. And let's talk about part-time workers. There's the final provision that I'm going to talk about this morning is making it easier for part-time workers for them to save. So they currently must be allowed to participate in a workplace retirement plan if they have 3 years of service and work at least 500 hours a year. The new package would reduce that service time to 2 years. What effect does that have?
Well, so this has been an area where part-time workers have kind of been left out of retirement plans. And, you know, so what it's trying to do is include them into 401k plans if, in fact, they are longer-term part-time employees. So on the flip side, let's say you're an employer, you know, and many companies, let's just take fast food, for example. You know, you may be a fast food worker, and you may only be working there for a year, and then you move on. So the idea in the past has been that part-time workers oftentimes move around, and therefore it's hard for employers to put them in their plan and then take them out of their plan and a lot of in and out. But what it's saying here is, okay, if you're a longer-term part-time employee and you're now 2 years into it, then yes, then you're going to be eligible and therefore be able to, you know, both put money in and also receive matching contributions.
All right, beautifully explained. And thank you for going through those items with us. I want to talk for a moment about this past year, but then I want to look toward the future. And you and I have over and over and over, we've talked about the roller coaster ride that we've been on this year. The S&P 500 is down more than 20% year to date. And 2022 is likely to end up as the sixth most volatile year since the Great Depression. But not all traders are on that same roller coaster ride. The large institutional investors on Wall Street have shuffled away from markets, while Main Street's retail investors are still strapped in. Explain to us what's happening.
Well, what you see is large institutional investors are managing assets many times for those individual investors. And so what we saw with mutual funds, for example, is that mutual fund money managers have been holding much more cash than they usually do. And B of A does a study and asks fund managers, kind of, what are you doing? And all of their studies this year in 2022 have shown excess cash. And so that's really what's going on, is that excess cash. I would expect that that money is going to start being invested more. And in fact, for instance, what we are doing, we have also held excess cash, but we're about to rebalance our portfolios and bring cash back into, I'd say, neutral plus, like a little bit more than we would normally have, but not the excess that we've had all year.
Okay. All right. And talk to us about we're expecting consumer confidence numbers. Is that, are we expecting those numbers, or they've already come out?
Consumer confidence numbers came out this morning.
Okay.
And they have improved significantly.
Yay.
So the conference board releases that. And so in November, that number was 101.4. It jumped all the way to 108.3. And what that means is that consumer sentiment has changed. Consumer sentiment, as inflation has started to ease, consumer sentiment is going up.
Okay. And that leads me perfectly into 2023. So what if you were to have a crystal ball in front of you, and I know you do, what are we looking at for the future? What's 2023 going to hold for us?
Okay, a couple of things that I see. So this year was not the year to be invested in many international companies. And we pulled way back from international in 2022. We are now, as we rebalance our portfolios, fully going back into international, because I think that this next year, we're going to see international equities rebound in a big way. There's a couple of reasons for that, Ed. One is on emerging markets, the dollar has been very, very strong, but the dollar is starting to weaken, and that is going to buoy up emerging markets. The other is that there have been many countries around the world that have hurt, and there are still areas that we are not so bullish on. For instance, I think Europe is still going to have a harder time. But other areas of the globe, we like quite a bit, and we see opportunities. So international is one of our strong ideas for next year. Another thing that I see is that fixed income, we believe, is going to rebound also in a big way. And if we look at the earnings expectations in fixed income, they're 2.5 times greater than what we've seen over the last decade. So huge, immediate, short-term opportunity in fixed income. And that's pretty much across the board. We do like high quality. We like a little bit longer duration. We're going longer than the benchmark. We're pushing that about a year excess of average duration. And so as the Federal Reserve starts to slow down those rate increases, they're not done. They've made that clear. We have probably 2 more rate increases, and then they're probably going to hold for the rest of the year. And so as we get to that peak, then very good opportunity in fixed income with higher yields. We like that. And then finally, I think that actually domestic equity markets are going to surprise people in 2023. We do still expect a lot of volatility, and that's why I say on the shorter term, we like fixed income a lot. But over the course of 2023, we see equity markets rebounding. And we did a regression analysis back to 1901, looking at earning per share coming down, PEs expanding. And what we modeled out was anywhere from 9% to 13% that we could see on the S&P 500.
Okay. I'm going to bookmark the international investments thing for our next week's conversation, because I'd already typed up some questions for next week. So I'm going to bookmark that and come back to you with that next week. As always, unbelievably cool to speak with you. It's a learning experience. Really cool. And I appreciate that. I certainly appreciate your time with us this morning. Tell us about your Facebook page.
Yes. So we have a WealthWise for Women Facebook group that we would love for your listeners to join. And it's interactive, and we are going to be interacting. We are interacting with people. So if people go in there, they request to join, they answer a few questions, request to join, and then we'll bring them into the loop. And so, yes, please go to WealthWise for Women on Facebook.
Excellent. And it's a way, really, do you directly respond back and forth with them?
Oh, yeah. We are engaging.
I absolutely love that. And I'll wait till next week to ask you. I was going to make it the last question of the year, but I just can't wait. How's the book coming along?
It is coming along well.
All right.
I still have 2 chapters, my last 2 chapters that I'm working on, and then the conclusion. But it is coming along.
All right.
So keep posted here.
I will definitely keep us posted, and I'll be asking you again next week if you've included me anywhere in those chapters. As always, the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, we thank you for the WealthWise moment. Laureen, thank you again for being with us, and I'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Great.
How do our listeners find you in the meantime?
Yeah, 949-748-1177 or wealthwisefinancial.com.
Thank you so much. 8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show. Money.